tonight. If we have any visitors here this morning, I'm not sure. I think I recognize every face, but if I'm wrong, if you would, look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, and there's a form there. Please fill that out. Put that in the basket on the right hand of the door on your way out this morning. Let us know a little about yourselves, and maybe we can make sure you know you're welcome here at Lake Country Bible Church. All right. Thank you, Wesley.
Open your bulletin, if you would. We'll start off with all of the normal stuff. Prayer meeting is every Sunday, of course, at 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome, and they meet back here in the ante room. To my right, that'd be your left, unless you're Mike McFarland, it'd be on his right as well. Women's Bible study is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading a study in the book of Judges. All women are invited and encouraged to bring a friend there as well. Wednesday night services, 6 p.m. Next Sunday, we're having a fellowship potluck, and there's a theme. It's going to be luau and salads potluck. Sign-up sheet is in the back. The reason for this is, if you're not familiar with Hawaiian cuisine, they're kind of concerned that everybody might end up bringing something very, very similar or the same thing. So they want to have a sign-up sheet just to have an idea of who's bringing what. So if y'all would take a moment to sign up for something in the back if you have an idea. Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry, please remember to gather small games, stuffed animals, plus school supplies this month and next. When you see a sale, they can put in a large storage bin in the foyer. Mike had an announcement. He tried to text it to me, and we couldn't get it to work, but I'm going to read it from his phone. Freddie sent this email out last night. Dearly beloved, I'm so thankful for the love and support of so many dear friends while we travel this road. Thank you with all my heart for standing with us. The surgery on my brain was described as a success by every measure. We are simply walking with the Lord now and trusting in Him for the future. This is still very hard for me and my family. Please continue to lift us up because the journey's end is not in sight. Even though I am home now, my possible threats are infection, pneumonia, pain, and future battles to fight. These are formidable foes, but there is not a mountain nor a molecule in this universe outside of God's power. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? Psalms 46, 1 and 2. The Bible teaching ministry is in the near future. Will be online. Please visit and support our various online formats by subscribing to them and sharing them with others if you will. There is something for everybody in these messages from the Bible, and he shares various other links. If y'all want those links, if y'all are interested in some of his online content, be able to reach out and hear some of his thoughts and ministries during this time, get with Mike McFarland. He can send you those links. Join me in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you for this encouraging update on Freddie Coyle's situation. We thank you for the success of the surgery. We ask, Lord, that you continue to heal his body, to strengthen him and his family as they go through this time, this trial. We thank you for the love that they have for you and the trust and the faith that they continue to show. May it be a ministry to everyone that they have encountered throughout this process, nurses, doctors, continue to give them opportunities to share the word, to share the gospel. May people see the love that he has for you. Your love for one of your children looks like they would be encouraged as well. But we thank you for this fellowship and everyone here who has joined in lifting up the Coyle family. I thank you for each one of their petitions to you. Ask, Lord, that you continue to heal, lift up, and build this congregation, this fellowship, that we would grow stronger and united in you. Help us to do so in this service, in worship and study. In Jesus' name. Join me in your Bibles, if you would, in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, 1 through 7. While you're turning there, another note that I would make is that next Sunday, expect to see a few of us in Hawaiian shirts. If you have one, join us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Amen.
Daniel 1, 1 through 7. If you don't have one, see Terrell Aaronspear. He seems to have a plethora of those things and probably wouldn't mind loaning out one or two. If you don't bring it back, his wife might even thank you. We love you, Terrell. Daniel 1, 1 through 7. Join me there if you would. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's place, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Then among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Unto them the prince of the eunuchs gave them names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah the Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. If you missed Vacation Bible School, that was one of our stories. So,
that's hard to follow. You think Jason Aldean has another hat? That's a good-looking hat. Boy, it's that good to look out and see some folks that hasn't been here, Coach. You never did. How did you hurt yourself working? How did you hurt yourself working on your motorcycle? How did you? Sir? All right, Coach. I don't know whether it fell on him or whether. I have had that happen. We're glad you're back, as well as some other folks we haven't seen because of illness and travel and family, and good to be back with each one of you this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel for the next several weeks. Daniel's got 12 chapters in it, and it's probably one of the most interesting books because it contains a lot of truths that we can identify in the world today. And so we will be taking a look at Daniel. Nancy and I had the opportunity, which I will say was a blessed opportunity. I wouldn't say that it was fun, but that we had the opportunity to go and to minister to, not in word with speaking, but to lend our support and prayers to a family who lost their mother. And that happens to be our son-in-law, our oldest daughter's husband. His mother passed away of cancer. We went to the small town of New Waverly, Texas, out of South Texas there, out in the woods, tall pine trees, a lot of undergrowth, solitude, to a little quaint church, Bethel Baptist Church, and there the funeral was held, and she was buried there in the cemetery where most of the family who have passed on because of years gone by, there's a lot of them there in the cemetery, and so we were there. That's a tough position, trying to comfort a family who's lost a one that they dearly loved. But we were there. We're in a little church that I was able to go in and see the auditorium, and a very quaint auditorium, one that would probably be about the size of one of our side areas of chairs. They had pews, looked like they had some age on them. I learned that the church was built, the auditorium of the church was built back in the mid to late 1800s, and that was very interesting to see the construction and how they had it decorated, and that was a good time. Family mourned. We listened to a gentleman who performed the sermon. His delivery was a little bit different, being from a Baptist church, a country Baptist church. His delivery was a little bit different, but his choice of verses were right on, and his understanding of those verses were right on. We would appreciate you remembering Kenneth Gardner's mom, not his mom, but his mom's family, as the weeks pass, asking for God's peace to be on them. Many, many, many of the Gardners that were laid to rest there in that cemetery were previous pastors, you can imagine, from the late mid to late 1800s till now. Many of the Gardner men pastored that church. So remember to pray for them. This morning we'll be looking at Daniel, and let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Father, we thank you for the free gift of eternal life. We thank you, Father, for the surety that this life is eternal. It never ends. You'll never cast us out. You'll never lose us. Father, we thank you that for the peace that the Gardner family had because of his mom's testimony of trusting you years ago, Father, as her personal Savior. So we pray for the Gardner family this morning. We ask that you would bless them and meet their needs in the coming days ahead. Father, we ask that you'd guide our study into the book of Daniel, that we might see the truths there and profit by them. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I was told that Sunday we're having this meal on a Hawaiian theme, and I was told to wear my Hawaiian shirt. I don't have a Hawaiian shirt, and I don't plan on buying one. I told the person who told me to be sure and do that, that what I do have is I do have swimming trunks, and I'd be glad to wear them along with my flip-flops and my muscle shirt, but... There were some bids on that. I'll guarantee you there were some bids. If I would do that, our church offering would be quite hefty the next Sunday. Looking in Daniel, we are going to look at this morning the outlay, if you would, the system in which the truths in the book of Daniel are laid out. Daniel is a book which is the object today of many naysayers who would say that Daniel could not have written this book in prophecy. He had to write it as a historian. The main reason is because it contains so many minute details concerning the truths that we find in the Word of God, supposedly written after Daniel was dead. And so they say that Daniel was probably a historian rather than a prophet who knew the truths in advance. They claim that Daniel could not have lived during that period of time because of the dating of the book of Daniel. We find, therefore, they call him this man who was a historian rather than a prophet. So we find here in this book of the book of Daniel that the Lord Jesus Christ opened Daniel's eyes as he was in exile and gave him the truths that we hold so precious today as believers. We find the 70th week spoken of in the book of Daniel. Prophecy, if you would. Prophecy in detail. Some has already been fulfilled. Other remains to be fulfilled in the future. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ sort of ended this debate as to whether Daniel was a prophet or whether he was historian when he said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, these truths spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Christ labeled him as a prophet. That's good enough evidence for me to believe that Daniel was a prophet and he wrote these truths and revealed these truths in the Old Testament for our benefit today. We find in the book of Daniel, chapters 1 through 8, or historical chapters. In chapters 7 through 12 are all prophetical chapters. We find that as this is a book of prophecy, I and many others believe that Daniel endeavored to show the things that are to come in the future, as well as giving instructions to those who were living at that time. You see, Daniel set an example in the book of Daniel. He set an example as to what he believed and how he practiced his faith in the living God in that period of time. So we find of all the Old Testament prophets, this one, Daniel, we know more of him than any other prophets. More has been revealed about Daniel and his life than any other prophet in the Word of God. In fact, many Bible scholars believe that Daniel was of noble birth. And if not, he quite possibly could have been of royal birth. He was carried away, Daniel was carried away into the Babylonian captivity in about 606 B.C., at about that at about the age of 20 years old. And Daniel had a sterling reputation as a Jewish young man. And there he remained in Babylon and during this entire 70 years prophesied in his book, the book of Daniel. We read much about Daniel in the Word of God. He's referenced many times. And we hold Daniel in a very high esteem as believers concerning his understanding of the Word of God. And if we study this book of Daniel from the original languages, we would find that it is written in two different languages. We find in chapters 1 through chapter 2, verse 3, and chapters 8 through verse 12 are written in Hebrew, the Old Testament Hebrew. Chapters 3, verse 4 through chapter 7, verse 28 are in Aramaic. This is an ancient language of Syria, which is substantially identified with the Chaldean language, the ancient language of Babylon. So we find here that Daniel has two languages in which it was written, Hebrew and then Aramaic. And so we find here that in the book of Daniel, and can be seen clearly, that those things which are spoken of concerning the Jews are written in the Jewish language, the Hebrew language, while the things of written in the ancient language of Babylon deal with other areas of the Word of God, and other areas in that specific region of Babylon. It can be seen that these things which are spoken here can only be classified as prophetical. Daniel is one of the few prophets, spotless characters in the Scriptures. Not even a hint of sin is charged against him. David, there was charges against him. He murdered a man, took another man's wife as his own. And we find many others that God used tremendously in the Word of God who had what we might call a spotted background or history, but not with Daniel. Daniel had a spotless reputation. We find that he's not mentioned by name in the great faith chapters of Hebrews chapter 11. He's not mentioned there at all. I believe that he's referred to as the one who stopped the mouths of lions spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Daniel had not only a spotless reputation among men, he had a special relationship with God. And Daniel had determined years before he went in to this captivity, even as a young boy, he had determined to serve the Lord. The prophecy of Daniel covers the time of the Gentiles, from Nebuchadnezzar to the Antichrist. It's better defined as the time when Israel is without her king. So we find Daniel, as we begin our study, we find Daniel being taken into captivity. We find also that as we study the book of Daniel, we'll find that we touch on the decline of Judah, the fall of Judah, the fall of Jerusalem. Daniel is taken captive all the way to this foreign country of Babylon. Daniel, as he was led captive, had made his decision to be true to God. We find that in Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 2, we'll read and study the dream of Nebuchadnezzar about a multi-metallic image spoken of by Daniel concerning the four kingdoms of the times of the Gentiles. In chapter 3, we'll be studying about the decree of Nebuchadnezzar to enforce the universal idolatry. Three Hebrews cast into the fiery furnace for refusal to honor and to bow to the image of gold. In chapter 4, we'll take a look at the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar about a great tree hewn down to a stump, filled subsequent period of madness of the king. Chapter 5, we'll read about the downfall of Babylon foretold by Daniel as he read the handwriting on the wall at the feast of Belshazzar. In chapter 6, we will find the decree of Darius the Median to enforce worship of himself. Daniel cast into the den of lions for praying to the God of heaven. Many of these accounts we will recall as children, as we said in Sunday school. And we saw the pictures of Daniel not only in the fiery furnace, but also in the lion's den. Daniel, the young man, when going into captivity, determining that he would serve the Lord no matter what. We find also in chapter 7 through verse 13, Daniel's vision of four beasts concerning four kingdoms of the times of the Gentiles. We'll find that in chapter 7. Chapter 8, we'll find Daniel's vision of ram and his goat and another little horn in chapter 8. Chapter 9, we'll find about Daniel's vision of 70 weeks concerning the nation of Israel. That'll be interesting in chapter 9. So we find that Daniel's went into captivity, and yet he had determined, even in captivity, probably knowing what was going to come to pass, he decided and determined that he would remain faithful. Chapters 10 through 12, Daniel's vision relating to Israel in the immediate future and latter days. We'll find the historical little horn and the horn of the latter days. Chapters 10 through 12. In chapter 10, we'll look at the preparation for vision by prayer of Daniel, appearing of a heavenly messenger. And also in chapter 11, we'll learn about the prophecy concerning Persia and historical little horn, eschatological little horn. We find in verse 12, the preview of Israel in latter days. Great tribulation. We see on the horizon, I think, today, of this coming time in which Daniel prophesied in chapter 12. Preview of Israel in latter days. Great tribulation of Israel. The resurrections, the rewards, the final word about the end times. You see, the Old Testament is written in the Hebrew language, but with the exception of a portion of the book of Daniel. For our benefit, I firmly believe this morning. Chapter 2, verse 4 through chapter 7. Daniel is written in Aramaic, the Gentile diplomatic language of Daniel's day. This section of the book of Daniel deals exclusively with the times of the Gentiles, the time in which we live. Even today, the remaining of the book correlates the nation of Israel with this program that God has set in motion and revealed to Daniel, the prophet. The book of Daniel deals with Gentiles and Jews. Most all the Old Testament is written to the Jew, deals with the Jew. But here in the book of Daniel, revealed by God to this man, this young man, in the Old Testament, he reveals things that pertain to the Gentile. But are you aware that the book of Daniel deals with Gentiles and Jews, but the church is never mentioned? The church is never mentioned in the book of Daniel. This book, I believe, is first written to the Gentile, but also to the Jew. So we'll be looking at some of these things as we go through the book of Daniel. I am going to briefly begin, because I'm running out of time, but we'll briefly begin in Daniel chapter 1, and as Wesley read, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, and into the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure room of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning, and knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and language of the Chaldeans. King appointed them a daily provision of the king's meal. of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah the name of Abednego. These young men heard from their home, not knowing what to expect, but knowing this time away from their homeland, away from what was remaining of their families and their country, carried them away to Babylon. These young men, not knowing, maybe anticipating that they would die ultimately, but having purpose within their hearts that they would serve the Lord. Daniel recorded these things for us that we might profit by them. Some may point out immediately that Daniel's account differs with Jeremiah's account concerning the besieging of Jerusalem. Daniel places it in the third year, while Jeremiah puts it into the fourth year. They're both right, because one, Daniel states the beginning of this time of what I will term imprisonment by those who took over his country. And Jeremiah declares the consummation of this time that was spent as prisoners of the king. Daniel, along with his Hebrew companions, was taken away to Babylon, away from all that he knew, all that he had experienced, all the things that were familiar to him, taken away. In the first deportation, there were several. Daniel was taken away to Babylon during the first deportation of Jews into a foreign land. I'm going to begin next Sunday as we begin to look at what it was like being separated in a foreign land, and how they responded to the king's decree, how they remained faithful in the hardships that they were expecting. God blessed them. God kept them. They remained faithful. Their story is quite an interesting time we'll be spending in this book of Daniel. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning. We do thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Father, for your word that's true. It's for us today. Father, we pray that as we look into this book of Daniel that reveals so much to us that pertains to us as Gentiles, we pray, Father, that you, your Holy Spirit, would guide our study. We might profit from it. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. Thank you so much for those that have been ill, like Coach, that are back with us. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in the life of the members of our church. And Father, we give you the honor and praise. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.